there's like this deep alignment with what you're saying and the message you're conveying, and everybody can feel that, because so many people like doubt, or they're not sure, or like, what if I don't deliver? What if I don't deliver? And so by focusing on extraordinary delivery, it has this effect of making my marketing and my sales so much more powerful. And it comes from a more authentic place, because I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. I'm just trying to give them the solution that they're looking for that solves the problem that they told me they have.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. Very excited to have our episode today for all of you who are tuning in and are considering building up your business online, maybe doing some group coaching, building a course, and just learning how to navigate that space can be intimidating. But I have a guest today who has worked with over 16,000 students to bring their success online. Marisa Murgatroyd, building a multi-billion dollar business in the process, has been the founder of Live Your Message and creator of the Experience Formula, has been a speaker on multiple stages, including the EverCoach Summit, the Mindvalley Momentum Event, LaunchCon, MFA Live, Traffic and Conversion Summit, and so much more. She is a sought-after course creator expert from leaders like Mary Morrissey, Vishen Lakhiani, JJ Virgin, John Assaraf, and so many more. She has a BA from Brown University, has attended the Royal College of Art, and so many more experiences I can see here that I'm going to talk about, including her work with Snoop Dogg. Might touch on that a little later. But what I really want to focus on today is make sure that we understand what are the things that make it so that you can have success online. What are the biggest errors that people might be doing if they're going out there without the right information, without the right strategies? And we're going to make sure that if you're going to be going down this path, you're going to be well guided. Marisa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. It's so fun to come back and interview with you over and over and over again over the years. I think we first interviewed maybe 8 years ago, so it's really been a while, and I love that we're both still in the game playing hard.
My God, 8 years? I think you're right, because that was in LA, and my God, definitely pre-pandemic. And you know, there's kind of this sandwich that seems to have happened to time, which is like when 2020 hit, I feel like we're still in the same year. I don't know if that's an effect that you have, but I feel like anything like 2020 and beyond is still the same year. But then I'm like, wait, no, that was like 4 years ago.
Yeah. And it's been a long freaking year, because I think it's just catalyzed this series of pivots and internal shifts for us as individuals and as the world. And so I feel like for many entrepreneurs that I know, they haven't caught their breath yet.
Mm-hmm. So like, I just look at some of the things that have happened in my life, like the number of times I've moved houses, the number of times that I've made some changes, the amount of travel I've had to do. And I feel like this constant, intense busyness of things that are moving has made this time kind of compress. And I thought it was just me. It sounds like it's something you might have noticed a lot with a lot of your students. Is that the fact?
It is the fact, because I think what happened is life and business and career and society, family and community and all the things as we know it just shifted in this fundamental way. And that just caused a ripple effect of other changes. And so as these kind of things that we know fall away, we've had to kind of recreate in that space, I wouldn't say something completely new, but start a series of pivots to continue to adapt to the way the world is changing, but more importantly, the way we're changing as individuals and what we now want to stay aligned and to stay current and to stay relevant. And that's been a process that, you know, for me, I know it's felt somewhat nonstop. And I actually feel just now that I'm beginning to come out of it and settle into this new space that's starting to emerge.
Okay. To be honest, I think we're probably following a similar wave here, because like this has been the month that I'm like, okay, I'm not traveling for at least 4 weeks, and I'm settling into my home and I'm making sure that I'm taking care of myself as well. These shifts that happened, you know, around 2020, I'd find that those who might have been working maybe the 9 to 5 or, you know, having these corporate type of environments, I would have assumed that they've had a lot more types of changes they had to do completely. When we look at the ways that we've been, you know, involved in the online space, I was working remotely even before the pandemic. And so I'd be curious to know, what were some of the big changes you had to adapt to when we had that shift happen, and how much that's probably not as bad as a lot of people had to completely change their life around because the physical space was not allowed to be going into anymore?
Well, to be honest, my last live event until just recently was in March of 2020. So my last big live event, I think I had sold 750 tickets or something to this event. And it began the day the governor of California declared a state of emergency. And it was really interesting because I had no idea. We're in this in-between mode where people were like, what is this pandemic thing? And so I remember walking onto stage and I had no idea how many people were going to show up, what it was going to be like. And I walk onto stage and I received the standing ovation for over a minute. It's like people were scared and they didn't know what to expect. And they just appreciated that I was there and who I was being and what I represented in that moment. And I remember it was such a moving moment for me. And we had these three incredible days and we ended it on a boat in Marina Del Rey. And everyone was dancing and having this incredible time. And then the very next day, the world closed. I sold 750 tickets, but I think only 300 people made it live because of, you know, all of these changes happening. But those 300 people had that memory as their last moments, their last hugs, their last everything. And I had that memory. And then the very next event was actually a month later, and I had to pivot to virtual. And then from the rest of 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, all of my events were virtual. And I did my first in-person in May in Lake Como. It's called the High Ticket Experience, just like a few people, eight people in a house. And it was so nourishing. And then I did a larger event in June that was my own event. And I walked onto stage and I just cried like within the first minute because I forgot what I'd been doing for so many years. It was almost like giving thousands of people an energy transfusion because performing and delivering and facilitating virtually, there's a lot going out, but not as much coming in. And the way people engage on chat is very different than when they're in a room sending you love and energy. So a lot of times people in a chat are more likely to just speak whatever happens to come to mind, like, hey, when's the next break going to be? Da, 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 you know, whatever it happens to be, you know.
Will there be a recording available?
Exactly right. Or all of the different things. Or you're glitching out. I can't hear you. But their internet's going. So it's like, that's what I was getting for however many years. So when I got on stage again in June, like a bigger stage, I got all choked up because I forgot what it was like to be in a room, to be seen, to be witnessed with people that I could look into their eyes. And then I could feel the energetic kind of the waves of energy in the room, meaning I could feel them leaning forward. I could feel them pulling back. And then I could dance with that. And that's the magic of live facilitation. And so even though there were advantages to going virtual, my events got much bigger. Instead of selling 750 tickets, I started to sell 1,750 tickets and have much larger rooms. And so we expanded and have students from 122 countries around the world. So that was a huge gain. But then for everything to be virtual delivery, you know, especially in our high ticket programs, we didn't want to just give people the same experiences live. So I had to completely reinvent the way that I delivered events. And then we started sending people boxes around the world. So every accelerator I did in my program, we would send them a box of goodies. And I got one actually coming up. And so we send like gifts and, you know, this was an instant gratification gift. They could open right away. But sometimes they say, do not open until. So all of these things that we had to adapt. And the first set of boxes, the world was shut down. My team wasn't available. I was packing like a UPS boxes myself for days. And I became my own because nobody could come to the house. And it was all of this stuff that was going on. And I remember even trying to go to the post office and not know if I could ship. Could I not ship? I mean, that was just the beginning days. But even then, there were these waves of people's expectations. First, they were all on Zoom, then they got tired of Zoom, and then, you know, all of these things, like attendance spiked, and then it plummeted, and then people got oversaturated, and then they needed fresh, you know, ways to engage. And then a whole movement went, like the movement of the industry also shifted from, you know, bigger programs to people wanting a lot more done for you and hand-holding and high touch and all of that. Because once everything went Zoom and everyone had access, then all of a sudden they wanted to get that personal touch some way. they started to expect, you know, more and more support, more access, more done for you, more back and forth, more all sorts of things. So there's been like one thing after another in terms of the way the technology has changed. And then now we're at 2024. In 2022, all of a sudden AI hit. And so AI, like 2.5 years after the pandemic, sent everything spiraling again, where people are like, wait, you know, are we even going to become relevant as human beings? And is what I do something that's going to be needed in this world where so much of what humans, how humans have contributed value to in the past is being taken over by machines? And so that's been the last 2 years of people being in this inquiry of what it means to be human and what it means to provide value. And then people thinking, you know, they can learn from the machine versus being taught by someone who has the intuition and who has soul and who can see you. And so there's all sorts of things that are happening. And I think that's also contributed to this like breathlessness.
Actually, keeping up with all that. And you know, I'm glad you took us through this journey because it just made me appreciate all the thing that has happened in the last 4 years, which again, I'm talking about a time compression, but you unpack that and you're like, yeah, a lot has changed and the AI has really shifted things. Now, one of the things I know you do better than anyone I know, and for a lot of people I brought on the show, they'll talk about like, how do you get more attention from leads? How do you get more conversions from sales calls? And in your case, where you spend a lot of time is around, how do I deliver a product that is of the highest quality? How do I make the experience of the post-purchase of the most memorable level? And I don't hear as many people focus so much on, you know, adult learning psychology or innovating on the curriculum, just this box that you talked about. And I already saw like, oh my God, having a gift that you can't open until the day of the event will spike up show it rates like nobody's business. Like, what are you noticing by focusing on that to help you grow the business? Because most people ignore it.
Well, here's the thing. There's a couple of real benefits there. First, I think that, you know, we're really in an age where people have a lot of options. And so it's no longer that content is king, it's reputation. And so people dig deeper and do a lot more research. Google came out with a report recently that said the average person will spend 7 hours consuming your content before they buy from you these days, right? And so if someone's doing deeper diligence because there's so many options to choose from, then that reputation becomes really important. So, you know, for example, one program of mine, I have almost 3,000 success stories. And these are people sharing their stories, sometimes pages and pages and pages of their experience. Now, that can't be replaced. So when you have this groundswell of people who are succeeding, then I believe that's the best marketing that you could ever have. Customer success is the new marketing. And when your students, clients, and customers win, you win too. So I think that that's kind of like a longer game to play. But when you play that game, you see repeat sales, and repeat sales are 16 times more profitable than first-time sales. So everyone who's focusing on a little edge on leads and conversion, that's great. But if you do all of that work and then you're just kind of dropping people once they come in, then you actually don't make the real profit in your business, which is what happens when someone buys from you a second, third, fourth, fifth time. That one program I just talked about, I was just digging in and one person's bought the same program from me 7 times because it's not just about the information, it's the live experience that we create. 7 times. He had lifetime access to the training itself, but he bought 7 times for the experience we add on top of the training. This is not a cheap program either, right? And so that lifetime customer value is where you have a sustainable business versus a churn and burn business where you're always chasing more leads, which is exhausting. It's like a one-night stand, you know, approach to business. So you also will see referrals go up. I actually have done the math. I call it the power of 1.1. If you create such an extraordinary experience that every student refers on average 1.1 additional students to you, that means your business grows 10% without any marketing. Now, not everyone will refer, but I've had someone refer 70 students to me, right? And so some people refer a lot, some refer not at all. But if on average you get those referrals, then, you know, that's a much better lead than a cold traffic lead. And it's also a lot cheaper and a lot more profitable too. The other thing that you see is that, you know, customer complaints and negative reviews and refunds go way down. And that's important too. So all of these like positive business benefits happen by focusing on delivering extraordinary value. But the thing that I think is overlooked is the actual like psychic benefit to you, the coach, the healer, the consultant. Because I know when I'm delivering a webinar, when I'm on a podcast with you, when I'm in some kind of sales or marketing interaction, I know with every fiber of my being that my program is the best possible option out there, and that this is this person's best shot at getting the result that I promise, which is, you know, designing and launching a profitable online course that actually engages people. And when you have that like cellular body knowing, there's like this deep alignment with what you're saying and the message you're conveying, and everybody can feel that, because so many people like doubt, or they're not sure, or like, what if I don't deliver? What if I don't deliver? And so by focusing on extraordinary delivery, it has this effect of making my marketing and my sales so much more powerful. And it comes from a more authentic place, because I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. I'm just trying to give them the solution that they're looking for that solves the problem that they told me they have.
There you go. I love this because there's a concept I share in my book, which is, you know, love the product is one of the loves of selling with love. And I say, don't fake it, make it. Make it the best, because that will be the highest thing that'll change you on how excited you are about selling it. Because if you're trying to sell a product that you wouldn't even recommend to your friends and family and you're embarrassed about it, you're going to choose very safe words, avoidant words when you're having sales conversation or you're writing copy. You will not be coming out with a level of confidence that is required for conversion. And for that, I'd be curious to know, when you see somebody wanting to create a course or they're wanting to improve an existing one, do you find there's some low-hanging fruits that they should pay attention to so that they could actually listen to this and walk away and being like, ooh, I probably need to look at this?
Yeah, so there are, in my professional opinion, three ways to create some kind of online course or group coaching program. What I call the old way, the new way, and the right way. So the old way is basically what we've been doing in classrooms since the 19th century, around the Industrial Revolution, 18th century even, which is basically giving as much content and information as possible to someone and then sending them off on their way to try to figure out what to do with it. The very first online course was made in 1830, and it was a correspondence course sent via postcards. All right. And we've basically transformed those postcards into videos and into membership sites. But it's basically the same thing. Like, a lot of people think a course is about sharing information, but it's not. That kind of course sees about, on average, only 3-7% of people consuming and completing that kind of course, because we don't change our lives based on information alone. I mean, if we did, we'd all be living in Googletopia. We would have perfect bodies. We'd have amazing relationships. We'd be millionaires already. We'd have everything we could possibly want, because all the information to do anything we want is available with a few clicks of the fingers on, you know, YouTube or Google or ChatGPT. Am I right? I mean, how many of you know how to do something, but you still haven't done it, right? So that's the old way to create courses, and it doesn't work. The new way to create courses is basically the old way, but you push a button and have AI do all the work for you. And that's even worse than the old way, because it doesn't have your genius and your insight. So what I focus on is the right way to create a course, which is really creating a course that's designed to get someone excited about learning, to awaken and activate their inner motivation and desire, to engage them deeply by really working with the way that we as humans are naturally designed to learn. Which means understanding, you know, our brains. I call it like working with the rewards center, which is also understanding dopamine triggers and things like that. So the very first, you know, thing to focus on to create something that's really designed for engagement is to understand what is the core transformation result or promise your program is delivering. And that's not learning everything there is to know about X, Y, or Z. It's something that's really hyper specific. All right, so let me give you an example, because I think a lot of your people are in personal development or in healing. And I had a shaman, his name was Helmut Whitaker. He and his wife, Kay, had written an incredible book called The Accidental Shaman, came to me, and I'm actually going to try to find the exact example because it's so good. And they wanted to do a course. And he was basically not making any promise at all, because he's like, Marisa, you can't promise instant enlightenment. Am I right? You know, I can't promise this. And I said, well, I understand that you can't promise instant enlightenment, but could you promise that someone would feel, say, universal love for a fraction of a second? He says, well, yes, I could. I think someone could feel universal love for a fraction of a second. And so, you know, what we ended up coming up with was a very specific promise. And at first he told me that, you know, Marisa, the entire shamanic journey takes, get this, 17 years to complete. 17 years. I'm like, helmet, come on. Like, no one's going to want to wait 17 years to receive any benefit from your class, right? You can't just tell them it's going to take 17 years. And so what I did is I worked with him and I helped him create what we call a product mission statement. And the mission statement isn't your mission. It's the mission that you're inviting your student, client, or customer on. And that mission needs to be so clear and specific that you could photograph someone crossing the finish line. Make sense? So it has to be almost binary, where you've either done it or you haven't. And if it's not binary, then it's not a good promise, because people can't visualize it. They don't know what winning actually looks like. So you can't create a course that's just like everything you need to know about X. And by the way, I've tried to take courses like that before. I remember taking an After Effects course, like Adobe After Effects, which was motion graphics in college. I wasn't working on any project. I instantly forgot everything. I didn't apply it. I didn't use anything of it. I never ended up even taking this whole course being able to do anything with motion graphics, right? Versus if I were to teach an Adobe After Effects, you know, class today, even though that software doesn't even exist anymore, it would be your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to create your first 30-second animation using Adobe After Effects. You see the difference? Versus learn Adobe After Effects inside out. Like, you know, you can get that online. You can get that on YouTube videos. You see what I'm saying? You're putting it together for people and helping them get the result. So back to Helmut. He was like, oh, I can't really promise anything because spirituality takes time and there is no instant enlightenment. And becoming a shaman like what I am takes 17 years. So here's what we came up with, you know, even with a topic that you'd think you can't get to a photo finish around spirituality, but you can. So here's what we came up with. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, and that's the sentence starter I give my students, because what that does is it puts you in their shoes versus coming from your perspective. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is in just 6 weeks. It's important to make a time limiter on something so it feels like, okay, this will happen within a fixed time period. In just 6 weeks, receive the four essential gifts that every human needs to feel whole, loved, and on path. The gift of knowing your truth, the gift of connecting to your life energy, the gift of a quiet mind, and the gift of opening to the infinite. So now his students could actually imagine receiving these four gifts, which he did through virtual shamanic ceremonies. And the amazing thing is that this was so compelling now that he emailed 18 people with the offer, and actually 21 people said yes. So all 18 said yes, and 3 of them shared it with friends. So he made 21 sales just like that. And I think it was like $11,000 in sales. So now, rather than selling, like, let's do some shamanic ceremonies together, he was saying, you're getting these four shamanic transmissions through these ceremonies, and each one of them is a gift of the North, South, East, and West. Can you see the difference?
Yes. Wow. That, to me, is a very direct, and as we talk about being specific on transformation and all that, even for people just listening now, you've just given something that we can all take a moment to go look at. What is it we're selling? And does it have that binary promise? And you can even give the sentence structure of your mission, should you choose to accept it. I think that's a big call to action and something that everybody can apply. And it's not rocket science, but it's often ignored. Like, people aren't paying attention to this. We're thinking more like, oh, I need to give more. And that's often what makes us feel insecure. It's like, oh, I don't know if people are going to get transformation from this. I don't know if I'm actually going to help them the way that I'm promising them. So let me just give more, dump. And then that makes me feel better, but I don't think it brings results to the person.
it doesn't get them results. And so then people disengage. And they also, if they don't know why they're learning something or they can't see how they're going to put it to use right away, they also disengage. And so I always give the example of what not to do with the masterclass.com series. So they've got all these famous people, like, you know, I think one of them was even teaches space exploration. You know, how do you know when you're going to cross the finish line? And adult learners in particular, Simone Biles teaches tennis. How do you know when you've won? Right? It's just about like learning from famous people. At some point that gets old. And so the average person's going to cancel after a few months where they get tired of learning from famous people stuff that they can't apply in their own lives, no matter how famous or good looking that person is. So it actually doesn't matter whether that person is rich or famous or attractive or has a six pack or whatever else it happens to be, has incredibly professional, you know, video. What matters is that you're getting someone a specific result. And that result also differentiates you, because that mission statement, the clarity of the promise, is what allows you to be different from everybody else. If you have 20 people teaching you how to use Adobe After Effects, that software, the motion graphics software, you know, one person says, make your first 30-second animation. Another person could say, do a 3-minute commercial. Another person might teach you how to use this for medical animation. Another person might teach you how a teacher is to teach it to other people. You see what I'm saying? There's like, you could have within that After Effects, you might have dozens of applications, which is how they're using the tool to get a particular result that could create completely different buyer bases. You know, maybe you have television animators and it's everyone together is going to create an opening for a TV sequence. You know, there's so many things that you could do there at different levels, beginner, medium, advanced and beyond, and so many different niches or different kinds of people.
I love that you're getting into this direction, because this whole idea of picking a niche or picking a niche, depending on how you want to pronounce it, that makes it feel like I need to create something that might not be what I want or my truth or my expertise, but I have to look out there, build something there. And I feel like there might be a gap in authenticity about what I really want to create, or a gap in passion. But it sounds like there's ways you can combine a niche interest with my particular skill set. And I'd be curious to know how you usually weave that.
Yeah, I think a number of things are going on there. So is a lot of times people like, I just want to be me and give what I want to give, and it doesn't care whether someone else wants to receive that. And that's not super effective. Am I right? So one of the ways to look like that is, if this is, you know, this is you and what you want to receive, and say, this is the market and what they want, right? Usually there's some place where these two things intersect.
So I'm just going to take a moment here and explain for those who are listening only. Basically, we have two circles on a page, and you can go to YouTube to watch this episode if you want to have the visual assist. But we have two circles that are intertwined or linked together, where you see what you want, what the market wants, and there is an overlap between the two, which is probably where you want to go and investigate.
Right. So when you're beginning, if you find something, it might be sort of at the edge of what it is that you want to do, but it's right there in the center of what the market wants. If you want to kind of get started as quickly and easily as possible and successfully, that's where you want to aim. And then, you know, gradually, as you develop a more reputation, you can go more close to the bullseye of what you want to deliver that might be at the edge of what the market wants. You see? So the mistake people make is they're just outside. They're just like somewhere that's not even in the overlap. And so it's not inauthentic. It's simply finding, where do you overlap? Like, where does what you have to give and want to give overlap with what people want to receive? That may take a little bit of soul searching in order to do, right? So that happens for people where they think, oh my gosh, I have to be inauthentic. But you have to just find the place where these two things bridge. Now, the other thing, and I'm going to have to draw another picture in order to...
I'll be the transcriber, don't worry.
...that happens is that people who have a tendency to want to create, you know, courses and things like that are like very deep human beings. And so if you're imagining an iceberg, right, and, you know, people are trying to market to like the base of the iceberg and all of their depth, and like, I contain multitudes and oceans, right? And everyone's like, whoa. You know, that's a little bit much. It's like if someone on a first date was just all of a sudden telling you, you know, their absolute deepest, darkest secrets and all sorts of stuff, it can be a little much. I mean, there are these stages of intimacy where people get to know you. You reveal more of yourself over time. So what I say is that, you know, when you're thinking about marketing, that you actually are marketing just the tip of the iceberg. And this is what people are looking for. It's what they want. And they're saying yes to this very specific thing. But when you deliver, you can deliver the full iceberg. You know what I'm saying? And so people are going to receive so much more than you tell them they're going to receive. But if you try to tell them everything that they're going to receive, it starts to dilute the message. So for example, I'm a business coach and I'm a business trainer. And the same student, Helmut, who I helped him with his mission, said, Marisa, I almost feel like you're doing similar work to me, but you're doing it in the context of business. And I have no idea how you're doing it in the context of business. I don't talk about spirituality. I don't talk about all this stuff in my work, but I'm helping people find a deep level of alignment and express it through the images and the words and the experiences. And so he was feeling so deeply seen and translated into his business. But I don't talk about any of that, right? I'm like saying design, launch, and profit from your very own online course or group coaching program. And then I have had 7,000 students sign up for that particular promise. Then along the way, they're creating life-changing, transformative experiences and becoming more of themselves and, you know, all of that. But if I try to say all of that in the marketing, they're like, yeah, right. And it loses focus because what they want is they want to design and profit from an online course. Am I right? Now, there are all these other benefits. So it's not that you can't deliver on the full depth and expression of who you are. It's just that if you try to convey that at the front in the buying and marketing and sales process, a lot of times you confuse people or you overwhelm them versus the clarity and specificity of a very simple kind of promise. And it's the promise is the thing that they want to buy. Now, if I were also leading with all the other kind of benefits, it's not the reason why they buy. They're really happy to get those later on, but it's not the thing that make them say yes. Is that making sense?
That makes sense. And I think it's one that requires a distillation. That's why the marketing is a very important role. That's why sales, messaging, all of that is important, because it's not necessarily like, oh, I'm just going to talk about surface stuff. It's really about dissecting what is the surface stuff that actually will resonate with the people you want to do business with.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, for me, it's like getting to the atomic elemental version of what it is that you do. When we also wrap too many words around things, it's because we're insecure, that we don't let something be simple. We need to kind of add and add and add and the promise to make someone see it and buy it. But when you get to like the elemental, if you think about water is always H2O, it's always two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen. All the building blocks of life are incredibly simple. And you can combine them into all of these complex, you know, structures and things like that. But if you go back, it's all really elemental. So it's kind of like stripping back to the elemental atomic version of what it is that you do. And once you know that elemental atomic version, then you can actually recombine it into all of these different, you know, shapes and things like that. But a lot of people start with like the confused mess of ideas. They don't do the distillation, and then it stays confused all the way through.
100%. And I know one of the things I want everybody to pay attention to here is we've put together, if you go to liveyourmessage.com/SWL, Marisa's got this PDF where you can see the 20 most profitable online mega niches that you can actually see where you can put your efforts towards, that are huge markets that you can play with. And you can combine that with your own personal mission, your personal passion, and see exactly, like she's drawn on the map, where you can play within that market that still fits within your zone of genius, that you can create something extraordinary. Marisa, I absolutely love what you're creating. I'm excited about someone like you in the market teaching people how to do this the right way, because we've seen so many products online not being done the right way. And I think the mission that you have around educating people and supporting them, whether it's building online courses or group coaching, is actually helping move the statistic that is horrible in our industry, which is 3-8% of people that buy stuff actually get a transformation from it. And that's heartbreaking. And I think with you and other people that would be advocating for this level of building products that are built on the psychology, spending the time to distill it, have a promise that you can actually get people to say, yes, I've crossed the finish line, is so refreshing to see. And I think a lot more people need to go through this. I need to go through your stuff a lot more as well, because I know I've not been at the level that I should be with myself and with some clients. And I think just putting 10% of the things that you teach about will have the most leveraged impact. And I hope everybody else who have taken what you've heard of today and you can see how you can instantly apply this. Marissa, I'd love to ask, since you are on a Selling with Love podcast, there's a question I have to ask everyone who comes on, which is, what does selling with love mean to you?
You know, for me, selling with love really is that win-win-win. You know, when I know that what I've got to offer really can help someone achieve whatever it is that they want, whether it's overcoming a problem or whether it's getting a result, and they know it too. And then we're saying yes to the promise. We're saying yes to the potential. We're sharing yes to a future we're going to co-create together. And then from that, the conversation is about that shared future vision. And it's not so much about what it is that you're actually selling. It's more, am I the person who can support you in creating this? Is this particular product or program or course or opportunity the vehicle through which you're going to get that transformation? So it's getting that deep level of clarity with someone else on what it is that they want to achieve and whether this is the way for them to achieve it. And at the end of the day, what we're looking at is we're looking at human potential, and we're looking at how do we optimize, maximize, realize, activate human potential. And when I can do marketing from that space, that's always a win. But the other thing is, you know, the way that I define sales and marketing too, because I think a lot of people define it as this process of trying to convince someone of something. And for me, you know, marketing is the process of creating the attitudes, beliefs, and conditions someone needs in order to basically say yes to themselves and make a change. So when I go into marketing, I'm looking at where is someone now? And what do they need to believe? And what do they need to think about themselves in order to say yes? Not because I'm manipulating them, but because I'm helping them rise to meet an opportunity that they otherwise would potentially be too scared to meet on their own. Because we're hardwired with 300,000 years of human biology and evolution to fear the unknown in the future. So what's happening internally is we've got these ancient biological mechanisms that are resisting our potential and what it is that we want. So we feel this constant push-pull. So if I'm doing a good job in sales and marketing, I understand and I see the humanity of the person and the things that are stopping them, the fears, the doubts, the objections. Sometimes it may come across as like questioning me and my ability to deliver or my credibility or my reputation or the details or like asking endless questions. But it's not that. That's just a, you know, manifestation of fear of the unknown, you know, which is kind of translating into this like overzealousness in the process. So for me, it's really being able to meet someone where they are, to understand the things that are holding them back, to support them in creating attitudes, beliefs, and conditions so that they can say yes to having the absolute best possible offer available to them to help them meet their needs. And then for me, sales and marketing doesn't stop when they say yes. That's just the beginning. Because then from there, I need to re-enroll and help someone recommit over and over and over again to the thing that they originally said yes to. Because when people kind of expand, sometimes there's a contraction on the other side of the expansion where they get fear. It can come across as buyer's remorse, but it's fear because they didn't just invest money. They're investing time. They're investing, you know, hopes and dreams. They're investing the potential of like lost face in front of their family if they've tried and failed before. And so people are also putting out their energy and their time. And so people are saying yes on so many different domains. And so selling with love is this entire, for me, end-to-end customer journey all the way through to the transformation and then the potential to go even deeper to the next possible transformation.
Marissa, it's been amazing having you on the show. It's been awesome to reconnect with you as well. And honestly, my biggest takeaways here from everything that you've shared, for one, understanding that reputation is the new marketing and defending that and putting that forward is huge. Also, making sure that there is a binary finish line in when you design your product so you can really measure the success from people were some of the two biggest things that I want to take action on immediately and start putting this into practice. And I'm hoping for everybody, whatever it is that resonated the most with you, you actually go and put it into practice. And I would encourage you, if you're still looking for a mega niche, definitely go to liveyourmessage.com/SWL. Marisa put together a PDF where you can see the 20 most profitable online mega niches. And there's so much more you can discover when you go on her website, look at her programs and all of her offers. It is absolutely wonderful to see. I'm so excited that you're building this. And, you know, after 8 years of knowing you, you've consistently always been someone that's been doing this at the right way. And that's why I'm so excited that you get to come on the show and share your insights with my audience. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.